Thank you very much, brother. It's a privilege to be here at Blaisdell Gospel Chapel, and we really enjoyed the conference yesterday, and we're planning on having our assembly back in Cincinnati is planning on having a missions conference in a few months, and we got a few new ideas from yesterday that we really enjoyed. I wanted us to open up our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15. And I'd like us to think and to look and see what the Word of God has to say about a topic that I've been thinking about and that God's been teaching me about for some time. It's the topic of abiding in Christ. The first time I can remember really seriously thinking about this was about a year ago. My family came, my mother, father, brother, and sister. I have one brother and one sister, came to visit me in Albania in the summer of 2002. And before they came, I was really concerned about my mother, especially, adjusting to life there in Albania, since it's very different from life in America. In some cities, the electricity is only on for 6 to 8 hours a day, and in every city, at any time during the day, the electricity can be turned off for an hour or for 2 hours without any prior warning. So you might have stuck some pasta in the refrigerator, planning for it to cook for an hour, and after 10 minutes, the electricity would go off, and you have no way to finish the cooking. Or you might have put laundry in the washing machine, hoping that it would be washed within an hour and a half, and you'd have it ready for the meeting that night. And after 45 minutes, it could still be in there, but not finished because the electricity went off. So there's a lot of getting used to as far as that sort of thing. And obviously everything, refrigerator, even the water, is not something that you can count on being there. So I was really concerned about my mother and her adjusting. So she was the one who was going to be doing a lot of cooking. I'm not an expert cook, and so I was going to let my mom take over that role and while they were there. And before she came, she'd been sharing with me what she'd been learning about abiding in Christ. And she sent me a book about it, and she over email and over the telephone, when I talked with my parents, she would share verses about this topic. And it really didn't make much of an impression on me until they came, and I saw the change in her. She's always been a devoted Christian woman, a submissive wife to my father, and a loving mother to my brother, my sister, and I. But whenever there was something that went wrong, I was the one who was more not at ease. I was the one who was a little bit uptight. And she had learned to abide in Christ in situations when things happened that she wasn't ready for, when things happened and didn't go the way that she'd planned. She'd learned to abide in Christ. And I saw the change in her, and I wanted to know more what it meant to abide in Christ. And so I began studying, and this is a passage that I want to look at today, John 15, 1 through 10. And there's a lot of things that we can learn from this passage, and there's three things that I want us to focus on today, and you'll notice them as we read through them. The first is the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, abide in me. And then the second is, if we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will bear fruit. And then third is, if we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will bear fruit, and will also be pruned. So let's go ahead and read John chapter 15 together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my Father's love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Just so there's no confusion, I was reading from the King James, but I'll be quoting from the New American Standard most of the time. I want us again to think about the subject of abiding in Christ, and it's relevant and it's important to everyone who's here. It's important for those believers who, in the body of Christ, who are older, who have gone through most of their life. Abiding in Christ can be the difference between someone who finishes the end of their life in peace and in thankfulness for the events that took place in their life, happy and content to live out the last years of their life, even though they aren't able to do what they once were. It can be the difference between that type of end of one's life and the end of one's life where a person is constantly complaining about what could have happened, what should have happened, someone who's not at peace with their situation, not at peace at the end of their life. It's also very important for younger people. I think there's a number of younger people who are in the meeting today who normally aren't, maybe in junior high and high school age. And when my brother shared with me that the high school group was going to be in here, I thought about when I was in high school. And my senior year of high school, I remember, it was, since I had already decided where I was going to go to school, it was difficult to stay focused in studying and in school that year. But one event really sticks out in my mind. And afterwards, I'll tell you why I'm sharing it, just so you understand why I'm sharing this. One of the last few weeks of school, a number of my friends and I decided that we'd play a joke on some of the classes there, and we got together, and we got, about 10 years ago, they called them boom boxes, or the big stereo systems that are portable, and I put one of those on my shoulder, and a number of friends were dressed up in 60s and 70s apparel, and we walked through the school, blasting the music, went into a few classrooms, and the teachers obviously were very surprised, to say the least. And a lot of the students who were there, who were still in school, we were on a free period, were wondering, what in the world are these people doing? They look like students, but they aren't acting like students. The reason I share that with you is because that was before I knew what it meant to abide in Christ. I was a Christian at that time. I was reading the Bible every day. I was active in sharing my faith with others. But that was before I learned what it meant to abide in Christ. And at that time in my life, that was just one of the highest events I had. It was so much fun. It was so exciting. But it was before I knew what it meant to abide in Christ. And for those of you that are younger, that are in junior high and high school and college, abiding in Christ can be the difference between living your life and seeking the approval of others, looking for something fun to do all the time, and never really finding that thing that's the best to do to occupy your weekend. It can be the difference between that kind of life and the life that's lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, where you realize that abiding in Christ is the most wonderful part, can be the most wonderful part of your life. And this is also important for those of you who are who have families now. As I look at my mother and I see how she could have worried many times when my brothers and sisters and I made decisions that weren't the best decisions, but as she was abiding in Christ, and my father too, they were at peace during those times. There's three things again that I want us to look at. Jesus said, abide in me, and he said, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. In another place, you will bear much fruit. And if you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will bear fruit and you will also be pruned. In verse 4, again we read, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. The Lord Jesus Christ was with the disciples at this time, And it was the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be arrested and then be tried and then be crucified. And he was sharing with the disciples very important truths. They'd been with him for 3 years. They'd seen the way that he lived. He'd been training them in ministry. And now he was sharing with them very important things that they would need to know after he'd be leaving. If you were one of Jesus' disciples, or if you were there in Israel at that time, immediately when the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned this illustration where he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine gardener," you'd immediately have in your mind a picture of what that looked like. And after being in Albania, I have a picture of what that looks like too. In front of the house where I lived, there was a fence about 10 feet high, a metal wire fence, and about 20 feet wide and 30 feet long, and it was in a square around the garden. And on that fence, there were grapes. And the owner of the house was the vine gardener there, and he would go and he would use these grapes. At the end of the year, he would crush them and make wine out of that, and he was able to sell that when it was good. And so the Lord Jesus Christ makes a comparison here, and he says that he's the true vine, and that the Father is the vine gardener, and then we, as we look at the later verses, we are the branches that are in that vine. And the command here of the Lord Jesus Christ is, abide in me. This is the most normal thing for a branch to do. As I walked back and forth to my home every day, and I saw the branches there on the vine, I never thought once, why does the branch stay in the vine? Because that's what it does. It grew from the vine, and that's the most normal thing that the branch can do. This in our Christian life should be the most normal thing for us to do, is to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not based on our effort. It's not based on what we can do. It's not based on our achievement, but it's based just on us remaining in the vine, choosing not to remove ourselves, choosing not to not abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we continue, I want to again make this clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples here, and abiding in Christ, bearing fruit, and being pruned are for those who have put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you haven't done that, you first have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life before these truths will have meaning to you, before you can abide in Christ, before you can bear fruit for the Lord, and before you can be pruned. What does it mean exactly to abide in Christ? There's a number of verses in the Bible that talk about this. One comes to my mind, 1 John 2:6. It says, "If any man claims to abide in God, he must walk as Jesus did," or he ought to walk as Jesus did. I remember when I was younger thinking about what it meant to walk as Jesus did. And as I was younger, I saw pictures of Jesus in Sunday school, and I would think, did Jesus take big steps, or did he take small steps? Was he in a hurry, or was he walking slowly? But later on, I realized that's not the point of the passage of saying, if any man claims to be in God, he must walk as Jesus did. It's not the physical way that he walked, but the communion and the dependence that he had on God. And I want us to look at some verses that give us insight into the way that Jesus walked. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, after the Lord Jesus Christ had been up late at night ministering, verse 35 says, "And in the morning rising up, a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." So the Lord Jesus Christ, even after having a late night of ministry, was still dependent on the Father and went out to pray. Let's turn also to John 5:19. John chapter 5 and verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And later on in verse 30, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I can do nothing on my own initiative. And we see the Lord Jesus' dependence on the Father. We see that he was constantly looking to the Father to see what he should do. Let's go back to John chapter 15 now. The Lord Jesus called us to abide in him. That's his command here. It's not an option for the disciple, but he's an option for the disciples. But it's a command that he's given them. Abide in me. And the Bible says, if any man claims to abide in God, he ought to walk as Jesus did. And so we see how the Lord Jesus Christ is in constant dependency on the Father, constantly dependent on the Father. And we understand that to abide in Christ means for us to be constantly dependent on God, to be reading and gazing into at the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word, in prayer, to be constantly dependent on God. Oswald Chambers, a Christian writer, said, often the greatest obstacle to devotion to God is service for him. Often the greatest obstacle to devotion to God is service for him. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he called the disciples, first called them to be with him. In the beginning, he didn't call them and send them out right away. He first called them to be with him, and then he sent them out, teaching and baptizing and doing other ministry. I remember the summer between my sophomore and junior year of college, I heard about an awful hurricane that had damaged the countries of Honduras and Nicaragua, and I wanted to help out the work down there. And so I tried to get as much work as I could that summer. I was working two jobs and trying to send as much of the money as I could down to the missionary work that was going on down there. It sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Does anyone say it doesn't sound like a great idea to be involved in that activity? I don't think there's anyone who would object. But at that time, it wasn't the right thing for me to be doing. I was working so much, I was so busy thinking that I was doing service for God that I had very little time to actually devote to him. And I wasn't abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was evident and became evident to myself as I would be rushing home from work and then rushing out of the house for another job. And instead of seeking to serve my family members, I was telling them what they should be doing. I was not abiding in Christ. This is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And it's only possible for us to do this as we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here this morning. I'm assuming that most of us are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if not all of us here. Are we abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we constantly dependent on him? This isn't a matter of salvation right now, but it's a matter of your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you dependent on him? Are you abiding in him the same way that a branch remains or abides in a vine? The Lord Jesus Christ's command was, abide in me. And if we abide in him, we will bear fruit. In verse 5 of chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. In the summertime there in Albania, and after the summer, we would begin eating the grapes. And the grapes from this vineyard outside our house were some of the best tasting grapes that I'd ever had. But there were a lot of times where there would be branches there that wouldn't have grapes on them, or they would have grapes that were all shriveled up because the branch had either partly or fully become disconnected from the vine. Maybe it had broken off because snow had weighted it down during the winter, or maybe during a storm the wind had blown and broken part of the branch off, and it wouldn't produce fruit. We have to be connected. We have to be dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ to produce fruit. Notice here the command of the Lord Jesus Christ isn't bear fruit. The command of the Lord Jesus Christ is abide in me in this passage. And he says, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ is concerned about the roots of our Christian walk, the roots of our relationship with him. Bona and I recently moved into an apartment, and our grandmother gave us some flowers the first day, and she put them outside, and about a week after we'd moved in there, we invited everyone in the family over for dinner, and she came there, and she looked outside at the flowers, and they were all shriveled up and almost dying. And the reason was, I thought Bona had been watering them, she thought I'd been watering them, and nobody had been watering them, so they shriveled up. And we began to water them after that day, every day, and they began to come back to life. And the reason was, is because the roots were getting the nourishment that they needed. The water didn't go directly to the flowers on the outside, but to the roots, and then the roots would cause the fruit to grow, the flowers to grow. In the same way, in our Christian life, the growth takes place in the roots. The growth takes place in as we study the Word, as we pray, and then the fruit is evident. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say here that you will bear fruit because you're gifted. He doesn't say that if you devote a lot of time to ministry, you'll bear fruit. He doesn't say if you find out what your gift, your spiritual gift is, then you'll bear fruit. He doesn't say if you're naturally talented, you'll bear fruit. He doesn't even say here if you have a lot of practice at doing Christian things, then you'll bear fruit. But he says, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. When the Lord Jesus Christ uses us and produces fruit, we shouldn't be proud of this, because it's the work of the Lord. It's not our work. It's important for us to understand what's mentioned, what the Lord Jesus Christ says at the end of verse 5. For without me, you can do nothing. Do you really believe this? When Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing? As I look at myself, as I think of a lot of other Christians, I think, I can do a lot of things without Christ. And I've seen a lot of other Christians do things without Christ. I've seen them do things, not activities that aren't spiritual. And then I've also seen myself and others do a lot of things within the church, a lot of ministry apart from Christ. But the point of the Lord Jesus Christ is, apart from me, you can do nothing of spiritual value. Apart from me, you can do nothing that's going to bring glory and honor to the Father. Apart from me, you can do nothing worthwhile. We can become busy and we can become active with many different things. But if we're doing it apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're trying to do it on our own strength, it's not going to have value. It's not going to produce the fruit that God desires. I'm sure many of us have had, maybe all of us have had the experience of realizing that we've been doing a Christian activity in our flesh, not being dependent on God. And we've been convicted about this. And we've realized, I have to abide in Christ. I have to be dependent on His strength and not on my own for this activity, for this service. One day of conviction like this isn't good enough. The conviction that we had a year ago or 2 years ago about needing to abide in Christ isn't good enough. Daily, we have to recognize and reaffirm our dependence on God, that in ourselves, in our own strength, we can do nothing. In verses 2 and 6, it mentions, the Lord Jesus Christ mentions branches that do not bear fruit, and I wanted to comment on this just shortly, not for very long. We know from many other places in the Scripture that obviously this cannot mean that believers can lose their salvation. There's too many other verses, and it's central to the teaching of Lord Jesus Christ and the rest of the teaching in the New Testament that our salvation is dependent on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said of His sheep in John chapter 10, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. But the Lord Jesus Christ here is referring to those believers who are no longer dependent on God, who have had this lack of dependence on God, who have not been abiding in God for a period of time, and become completely ineffective, completely unable to bear fruit. Often we think Satan's goal is to get a believer to do a really terrible, awful sin. And I'm sure it is his desire sometimes. But he doesn't have to do that with everyone. What all Satan has to do to bring someone down who's following the Lord Jesus Christ is to get them to depend on themselves and not on God. Even if it's in doing a good thing, if he can get someone to depend on themselves, to be deceived and think, I'm good enough to do this on my own, I don't need to depend on God for this, that person's downfall is sure to happen. Eventually there'll come a time when they'll make a mistake, and then they'll be angry at themselves for making that mistake, and they'll make a vow or a promise to themselves, I'm going to try harder not next time. For example, if the problem is anger, I'm going to try harder not next time not to get angry. And they might do well for a little while, but then eventually there's going to come a time when they're going to fall again and get really angry at someone. And they'll make an even greater vow, maybe before God in prayer, saying, I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to blow up. And then time after time, as they continue not to depend on themselves, but not to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, but depend on themselves, after falling time after time, that person will become discouraged. This becoming ineffective can happen to anyone. It's not just certain people that have these struggles, but anyone is subject to this temptation. It can happen from bitterness and jealousy towards a brother and sister or towards someone else in the assembly. It can happen as a result of sins such as lying or being involved in pornography. There are many sins and many temptations that seek to take us away from abiding in Christ. There's an illustration that might make this a little clearer for you. It's really helped me out, by a man named Watchman Nee in a book called The Normal Christian Life. And he talked about during World War II, how in the first 3 months the Japanese tanks were advancing against the Chinese and really destroying at will whatever and whoever they were coming across there in China as they invaded China. And then the Chinese devised a technique which in modern day with the scopes and the ability to see outside the tank would seem silly to us, but it was a useful technique at that time. The Chinese would have snipers who would shoot the tank from different directions, the Japanese tank. And eventually, after a few minutes of being shot from the right and from the left and from the front, the man who was inside the tank would open up the top and look out to see where the shots were coming from, and then someone would be able to shoot him, and it would stop the assault from the tanks. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants us to get out. He wants us who are dependent on Christ to just stick our heads out a little bit, to think we can do this on our own. I'm good enough. I've had enough practice. I've been doing this service for years. I can do it on my own. That's what he wants to do. And then he wants us to fall and to become useless for the work of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said again, what was the commandment? Abide in me. Abide in me and you will bear fruit. You will bear much fruit. Abide in me and you will bear fruit and you will also be pruned. In the second verse of chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. There was one time where I was walking past this vineyard, these grapes, and I saw the man, the owner of my home, and he was just tearing off branch after branch. And I asked him what he was doing, and he said he was taking away the branches that weren't giving any fruit. They were branches that were dead, even though they were still connected to the vine. And another time I saw him there, and he had some clippers with him, and he was cutting really carefully but it looked like he was cutting away at a lot of the good branches. And I asked him what he was doing, and he told me that I'm cutting where there's fruit so that next year more fruit will come. And it takes an expert pruner to do that well, because you can just cut a little bit on the vine, but not much fruit's going to come back. If you cut too much, then it's going to damage the branch. And God's the expert spiritual pruner. He knows just how strong we are at each point in our life. He knows just the right trial for each person. The Bible says that no temptation in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And then it says that God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. The Lord knows just how much we can bear, and He doesn't let us be tempted beyond that point. And He uses many different things, really everything in our Christian life, to prune us so that we can bear more fruit. In Albania, there was a time where the church, the local church there, experienced a time of pruning. There were some brothers who, as Mark mentioned yesterday, if you were at the conference, there were some brothers who, even though on Sunday mornings they would appear to be in agreement with what was being taught, to respect the missionaries there, would go to different homes, or as they were at work, would talk badly and would speak against and slander our work. And it was a time of pruning for the assembly there. There were some people who struggled after hearing these things, but God was using it to cut away, but so that after there would be more fruit produced in each person's life. And it's been exciting to see, even though it was a very difficult time for everyone there in the church, it's been exciting to see as these brothers have been restored to fellowship, and as the other believers have received them back in, the extra fruit that has been produced as a result of this, the love after seeing these brothers fall into this sin and then accepting that back, the love that is, their love has grown as a result of this. In the book of James chapter 1, the author tells us to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of any kind. And it's something that's very difficult to do, to consider it pure joy. It wasn't my first reaction when I had the continuing pain from my back. My first reaction in January and February and March and April, as I had this pain and I was laying down in bed day after day, was to think, I wish I was all better and we could go back to Albania right now and be out sharing and preaching and discipling the younger believers there. But it's God's desire for us to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials, to consider it joy and to rejoice in the pruning process, because we know that He's using it to produce more fruit in us. How does He do this exactly? Have you who are here been pruned before? Do you know how God uses the pruning process to make us more fruitful? From my own experience, I know that during that time when my back was causing me a great deal of pain, I saw my own weakness in a way that I'd never seen it before. And my inability, even in the smallest ways, to be obedient to God, to love those like my wife and my other family members who are precious to me, to be thankful. And at the same time, as I read the Word, I saw that it was the Lord Jesus Christ for each one of those things who was to give me strength. And I know that in many different ways, in many different trials, God uses the pruning process to make us more fruitful, to cause our love to abound in Him. God can use many different things to do this. Often when we're going through the pruning process, when we have these struggles, our desire is to want to become stronger. And we think, if I just try a little bit harder, I can get through this trial. If I try just a little bit harder, then I can get through this awful family situation. If I try just a little bit harder, I can resist the temptation to do what all the other students are doing at school. if I try just a little bit harder. But what God wants us to do is to realize our weakness. It's fresh in everyone's mind what happened at Niagara Falls a couple weeks ago when the man jumped off and fell into the water. If you've ever seen someone drowning, or if you've ever heard about someone who's drowning and people have tried to save them, the way that people normally have to save someone who's drowning is either to wait until the person has struggled to the point where they're unconscious and then to grab the person out of the water, or to hit the person to make them unconscious yourself and then to pull them in to the shore or to a boat, wherever you're rescuing them from. I haven't had that experience personally, but I take it from the people who have had it. The reason is because the drowning person is so frantically gasping for breath and trying to grab on to anything that's around them, that if you, who have about the same strength as the person who's drowning, try to pull them out, even an expert swimmer can be pulled underwater by that person because they don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize that help is right there for them. God doesn't take the old nature that we have and then mix that with the new nature and help us to be obedient. When we're going through trials and we're going through the pruning process, it's not a little bit of our strength together with some good Bible verses that help us to get through trials. But what God wants is for us to realize our complete weakness, our hopelessness without Him, and then to see the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that it's only through being dependent on Him and abiding in Him that we can get through the trial. There's many other things that we can read here. One last thing. In verse 7, he says, "Ask whatever you wish. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you." And I think there's a lot of people who don't worry about strengthening the roots of their Christian life, don't worry about abiding in Christ until this trial comes, until this hard time comes, and then they want to start reading the Bible, then they want to get grounded, and they want to become very spiritually mature, very quick. If you're a younger person here today, you're probably interested in doing things quickly. A lot of younger people are often the victims of the get-rich-quick schemes. I'm the kind of person who, when someone gives me directions to one place, I'm already thinking of how I can get there faster. If you're a younger person here, you've probably also been confronted with the idea of becoming spiritually mature quick, of a quick Bible study that'll get you mature, praying really quick to get through a trial. But that's not the kind of prayer that brings glory to God. God desires for us to go through the pruning process, to struggle through it, and to see our need for Him. In closing, I'd just like to share one quote and then one story. The quote is by a man named Major Ian Thomas, and he writes this in a book called The Mystery of Godliness. And he says, "The Christian life can only be explained in terms of Jesus Christ. And if your life as a Christian can still be explained in terms of you, your personality, your willpower, your gift, your talent, your money, your courage, your scholarship, your dedication, your sacrifice, or your anything, then although you may have the Christian life, you are not yet living it." I share at the beginning about my senior year of high school. I had the Christian life, but I really wasn't living it. And I'd like us all to ask ourselves this question between us and the Lord now. Is the Christian life for you about your faithfulness in attending the meetings week after week? Is the Christian life for you about the warm, fuzzy feelings and the fun time that you have when you feel like you get close to the Lord? Is the best part of the Christian life for you, the most exciting part, about your spiritual gift and using that and then having other people congratulate you for it? Is the best part of your Christian life and the most exciting part for you anything but the Lord Jesus Christ? Because our Christian life shouldn't be anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Christian life should be about abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ wanting to know Him and wanting Him to be glorified in our lives. There was a couple years ago when I was in my sophomore year at college, there was a man who received, a professor who received an award for being the faculty. It was the Faculty of the Year Award. And there at Wheaton College, many famous, eloquent speakers had come and had spoken from that podium. And this man, Roger Lundeen, an English professor, walked up there that day, and as he spoke to 2,000 students, he stood at the podium and he said, "Just love Jesus." And then he paused for a while. And then he said it again, "Just love Jesus." And then, in case there was anyone who didn't understand the point of his short message, he said, "You can do many different things with your life. You're gifted and you're talented, and you can succeed at almost anything that you do. But I want to encourage you in the most important thing that you can do with your life." And he said a third time, "Just love Jesus." And I want that to be an encouragement to myself and to each person here. There's many things that we can do with our lives. There's hundreds of different things that the world tries to use to grab our attention. But the Lord Jesus Christ's desire is for us to abide in Him and to love Him and to spend our lives doing that. Let's close in a word of prayer.